2015 is going to be a good year for us. We're going to see a lot of progress in our community. Nursing home will be complete. Most of the work on the schools will be done in 2015. Most of the work on the infrastructure will be done in 2015. Sometime in 2015, we're going to be through with our renovations, and we're looking forward to that. This is going to be a good year. There are a lot of good things that are going to happen in this coming year. And this morning, I want you to think for just a few minutes about what that might mean for you, what the new year could hold for you. I want us to think together about a new year for a new you. Every time, and I know as well as you do, that a new year is kind of a man-made construct or a concept. I know as well as you do that there's nothing really magical or mystical or even spiritual about January 1 versus December 28. I understand that. But I also understand that when God created us, He created us in a way that He knew that we needed time to make this experience that we call life, to make it make sense. And so if you look through Scripture, He uses time a lot. I mean, the first story, day one, He did something. Day two, He did something. Day three, and then on the seventh day, He rested. That's a record of time. And you'll see in the law, he would say, on such and such a day of such and such a month, you should do so and so. Well, for there to be months or days, He thinks in terms of time for us. Not that He is bound by it. It's a construct for us to make life make sense, but He does work within it. Therefore, I think that we can, with confidence, say that this is a perfect time for us to consider a new start. That's kind of what the new year promises. A new look at life, a new perspective, perhaps a year or a time to make some major changes. The new year offers new opportunities. And so I want to challenge us this morning to make the most of those opportunities as we think about a new year for a new you. And to do that, we need to start by talking about roadways and ruts. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, look with me in Isaiah chapter 43. Go back to the Old Testament, about in the middle of the Bible, give or take a little bit, and find Isaiah chapter 43. And I want us to look at verses 18 and 19. Let's talk about roadways and ruts. In Isaiah chapter 43, at verse 18. He says, "Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." This is a promise to God's people who have been taken captive into Babylon. This is a promise that they will be restored. And so he says, don't dwell on the past. You know, don't let the past dictate to you how you live today. Don't let those ruts that you've gotten into direct your path. He says, don't dwell on those things. Reminded me of the story about the two hunters who got a pilot to fly them into the far north for elk hunting. And they had a really good trip. They bagged 6 big bucks. The pilot came back as arranged to pick them up. They started loading their gear into the plane, including those 6 elk. But the pilot said, you know, there's no way. The plane can only take 4 of your elk. You'll have to leave 2 behind. They argued with him and said, well, last year we came up here and we hunted, and last year we shot 6 elk, and the pilot allowed us to put them all on board last year. So the plane was the same model, same capacity. So reluctantly, the pilot finally allowed them to put all 6 aboard. When they attempted to take off and leave the valley, the little plane couldn't make it, and they crashed into the wilderness. Climbing out of the wreckage, one hunter said to the other, do you know where we are? He said, I think so. This is just about the same place where we crashed last year. You know, when we keep doing the same things, we're going to get the same results. My guess is that if you would stop for just a few minutes this morning and look back at your life for just a second, then my guess is that you could find some rut that you need to get out of, some bad habit that you need to leave behind, some negative thought process that you need to leave behind. My guess is that you probably have ruts, just like I do, that when I'm not careful, they determine where I go in life. Instead of having a clear sense of direction, my ruts dictate what I'm going to do each day. And I'll bet you have the same issue, the same problem, if you'd be honest about it for just a minute. It's easy to get stuck in a rut. There was a man that was going to work one morning when he was pulled over by the police. The policeman walked up and he was talking to the man. He said, sir, did you not see that stop sign? And the man said, hey, I've been traveling this same way for 20 years, and I have never stopped at that sign. The trooper said, well, you will now, and handed him a ticket. The very next morning, that same police officer got a call that there was a wreck at that same stop sign. So he showed up, and much to his amazement, when he got there, the first car he saw belonged to the very man that he had given a ticket to the morning before. So the policeman asked him what had happened. He said, don't ask me, ask the man who hit me from behind. Well, the officer walked over to the second car and asked him what happened. The man said, it's not my fault I hit him. I've been following him for 20 years and he has never stopped at that sign before. It's easy to get in that same rut and just do what we do because that's what we do. I want you to hear the Lord speak to his people this morning, and he says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. It's time for a change. It's time to de-rut your life. If we don't have ruts to guide us, what in the world are we supposed to do? Well, we continue to read. In verse 19, he says, behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? God says, I'm starting to do something new in your life. The question is not whether I'm going to do it. The question is, are you going to notice it? I wonder how many times God works in our lives and we never even notice. We're so busy. We're so caught up in being who we are and doing what we do. Maybe we don't even notice when God is at work. And so he says, I'm going to do something new in your life. Are you going to notice? And then he says this. Listen. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I'll show you the way. I'll make the roadway for you. I'm going to start something new in your life this year if you'll pay enough attention to notice. Folks, this year, it's time for a new you in this new year. And it starts by recognizing roadways and ruts. Some of us need to join David, pray, create in me a pure heart. That word is sometimes translated clean heart. Create in me something new. And by the way, there's two words for create in the Hebrew. One word is you take something that's already there and you create something new. Like I would give you a lump of clay, and from that clay you would create a pot. There's another word for create that means that you create, that you make something that never was. You make something out of nothing. The amazing thing is that's the word that David uses. Not the first one, not take my old and fix it, but he says, give me something brand new. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. I want to challenge you this morning. It very well might be that this is the perfect time in your life to say, God, give me a new start. Help me to start brand new today. There are roadways and there are ruts. We need to be aware of them. Second thing that we want to be aware of is shadows of the past. Put a marker here in Isaiah because we're going to come back to Isaiah. But once you put a marker there where you can find it quickly, jump over to the New Testament for me and look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. We want to not only be aware of those roadways and ruts, but we want to be aware of the shadows of the past. In Philippians chapter 3, at verse 13, he says, brethren, and you know what he means by that is family, brothers and sisters. Usually when Paul uses that term brethren, it means he's fixing to say something that he knows could be very personal. And he wants to make sure that his hearers understand that he's coming to them out of a sense of compassion and connection. Brothers, it's only because I love you that I'm saying these things. Brothers, sisters, family, let's talk for a minute. And he says, brothers, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, brothers and sisters, I'm not there yet. I'm not where I need to be, and I know it. But I tell you what, just because I'm not there yet doesn't mean I'm going to sit down and quit and give up. It doesn't mean I'm going to blame others and lose out on my abundant life. He says, I'm not there yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. One of the things that you and I have to do if we're going to have this new experience, if we're going to be a new you in a new year, one of the things that some of us are going to have to do is leave the past in the past. Some of us are not able to move forward because we can't let go of the past. Some of us can't reach towards something new because we can't let go of something old. There are things that have happened in our past. There are things that we have done, things that we have said, things that have been done to us and said about us, that if we let them, they will ruin our today and destroy our tomorrow. And I'm here to tell you, it's okay to let go. It's okay to let go. If there is something you need to accept responsibility for, if you've done something wrong in the past, man, own up to it, accept it, deal with it. Ask God to forgive you. Ask others who were affected to forgive you. Forgive yourself and get on with it. If others have hurt you, forgive. Because you know what? They don't care if it messes up your life. You sitting back saying, I'm mad at you, and so I'm not going to become nothing just to prove to you that you ruined my life. That doesn't hurt them. Leave the past in the past and move forward with confidence. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. On August 7, 1954, during the British Empire Games in Vancouver, Canada, the greatest mile run matchup ever took place. It was touted as the Miracle Mile because Roger Bannister and John Landy were the only two men in the world who could run the mile in less than 4 minutes. Both runners were in peak condition. Roger Bannister had a strategy. He thought that he would relax during the third lap and save everything for his finishing drive. But as they began the third lap, John Landy poured it on, stretching his lead. Immediately, Bannister adjusted his strategy. The lead was quickly cut in half, and at the bell for the final lap, they were even. Both were flying around the track. Then came what has become a famous moment. Landy couldn't hear Bannister's footfall, and so he looked back. And when he looked back, he lost by 5 yards. You see, Jesus told us very simply and clearly, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. You got your hand to the plow, so you're ready. You got the plow out there, so you're ready. You're at the plow in the field, so you're willing to work. But you can't get any of the real work accomplished because you're looking back instead of looking where the plow needs to go. A new you in this new year can happen if you recognize the roadways and the ruts, if you recognize the shadows of the past, and then pay it forward. Pay it forward. If you're still with me in Philippians, turn to the left and find the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 6, at verse 38. In Luke 6 and 38, I want to show you one of the most powerful verses that is one of the verses that is most often misused. Look with me in Luke chapter 6 at 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Do you hear what he said? Give and it will be given to you. But not just given to you. I mean, they're going to put it in a sack, and they're going to have to push it down. You ever take the trash out of the can, and it's overflowing. You can't even tie it at the top. And so what do? You push down on it and you crunch it down inside there, right? This says they're going to bring you a sack of blessings, and it's overflowing at the top, and they're going to push it down, and then it's going to keep overflowing. The way this verse is misused, unfortunately, is greedy people use it to teach other greedy people how to continue in their greed. It's used when folks say, look, if you give my ministry $10, this is a promise God will bless you and give you $100. That's not at all what it means. Jesus doesn't work that way. What it does mean is this: when you give of yourself, when you become a giver instead of a getter, when you give of yourself, you will never outgive God. What it means is when you start giving of yourself, then you're going to find blessing after blessing after blessing. It may not be and probably won't be in your checking account. But when you give of self, when you start thinking about somebody else instead of yourself, when you start caring about others and serving others and doing good things for others, you wind up being blessed by all of that. That's when you're happy. You know, if you're sitting back waiting for somebody to give you stuff and do stuff for you and give you attention and fix you and help you and make you happy, you know what? Those people are never happy because you can never get enough. The way to find true happiness and true blessings, step out of being a getter and become a giver. Start thinking about others and serving them, and that's when the blessings begin to really roll in. There are two epitaphs that I wanted to tell you about, two tombstones in Warwickshire, England, near an ivy-grown church. There's a stone on which is the following inscription: "Here lies a miser who lived for himself and cared for nothing but gathering pelf. Now, where he is and how he fares, nobody knows and nobody cares." The other epitaph I want to tell you about is in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. It's a simple and plain monument, and beneath this figure there are these words: "Sacred to the memory of Charles George Gordon, who at all times and everywhere gave his strength to the weak, his substance to the poor, his sympathy to the suffering, his heart to God." How do you want to be known someday? For that matter, how do you want to be known today? Pay it forward simply means invest in the lives of the people around you. And don't worry that you're losing stuff or losing time or losing self. You're going to be blessed with all that back. Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." And Paul said it as well: "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Serve one another. Pay it forward. I hope that you find a new you in this new year. You want to notice the ruts and pay attention to the roadways that God gives you. You want to acknowledge the shadows of the past and leave them behind. You want to then begin to pay it forward and invest in the people and in the kingdom around you. And then you're going to notice mega changes. You already marked Isaiah. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah real quick and find chapter 54. Chapter 54 at verse 2, and we're almost done. Chapter 54 and verse 2. It's a great text here, 54 and 2. "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs." In other words, get ready to grow. Get ready to grow. Here's the picture. They lived in tents and they said, "All right, now you're going to live in this tent. You're fixing to grow. Your family is fixing to grow. So here's what you get. You got to stretch that tent. You got to move it out. You got to stretch those lines. You got to get bigger, stronger stakes and put them down. It's got to hold a bigger tent. You get ready to grow. You get ready to be blessed. You get ready to see God move among you." Verse 3, "For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. Your descendants will possess nations, and they will resettle the desolate cities." It's an amazing picture that God gives to these. He again is giving them some sense of hope. Remember, he's a prophet, and most of his book is sad, negative stuff because they were disobeying God. But here is a promise. He says, I haven't forgotten you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to restore you. You better get ready to grow because the blessings are about to flow. They're coming your way, so be ready. See, he says it begins when you begin to expand your capacity for God. When you start by stretching yourself a little, challenging yourself a little. Do some new things this year. Stop limiting yourself and stop limiting God in your life. Ephesians 3 says, now to him, this is a blessing. This is like a benediction. Listen real careful. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. That's the kind of God we serve. Can God make a change in your life? You bet He can. He can make a change in your life and the lives all around you. You better begin to stretch that tent. If you're willing to get out of the ruts, to recognize His roadways for you, if you're willing to leave the shadows of the past in the past, if you're willing to invest in the people and the kingdom around you and start paying it forward, then I'm telling you, you get ready for some mega changes. You get ready to grow. You expand that tent and get ready for it. William Carey was the father of modern missions. The church, Christianity, had gotten to a point where we weren't really telling people about Jesus anymore. And William Carey, this is in the 1700s, he stood up and he said, you know, we ought to start telling those other folks about Jesus. There are people in the world who don't know about Him. We need to tell them about Jesus. And in this meeting of ministers, there was a minister there who heard William Carey say that, and the minister stood up and he said, sit down, young man. He said, if God chooses to save the heathen, He'll do that without you or me. But William Carey wouldn't give up. And he continued to speak. He spoke at what was kind of like a convention of Baptists. And he spoke, and when he was through speaking, they didn't really react or respond until he grabbed the chairman by the arm and he said, will you still do nothing? And the chairman stopped and he thought about it. He went back to the body and they voted to establish what became the first official missionary sending agency in Christian history. And in that sermon, that speech that he made that day that changed everything, William Carey used this verse that we just looked at. It talks about expanding the camp, building a bigger tent, getting ready for growth. And he said this, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. I can't think of a better way to start the new year. This year, this coming year, expect great things from God. Watch for them. Expect them. They're going to come. And attempt great things for God. Do something for Him. Get out of the ruts. Leave the past behind. Pay it forward and make a difference in the world around you. If God can hang the stars on high, can paint the clouds that drift on by, can send the sun across the sky, what could He do through you? If He can send a storm through space and dot with trees the mountain's face, if He the sparrow's way can trace, what could He do through you? If God can do such little things as count our hairs or birds that sing, control the universe that swings, what could He do through you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for new opportunities, new starts, new challenges. And Lord, we pray that You'd help us today to accept those challenges. Help us, Lord, to leave the past behind and move forward in our relationship with you, to expect great things from you and to attempt great things for you. Lord, we pray that you'd help us today to shake off whatever we need to shake off, to lay down whatever we need to lay down, to set aside any hindrance that would keep us from running the race. And then help us, Lord. Help us to strain forward toward what is ahead and press on. We pray it in the powerful name of Jesus.